Switching gears.
How have I made it this far in life?
You had a lot of help.
Not wrong.
Me, that's how. Yeah, there was like the dark ages of ages approximately like 18 to 20.
Yeah.
One.
No, it was like, no, it wasn't 21. It was like 19.
Well, but were you at my 21st birthday?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
Yeah.
I don't think you were there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was there. Because you were there for mine. What a wonderful start. So, hey, hi, hello. It's me, Caitlin Gear with Switching Gears. I have my friend of 23 years?
23?
23? I don't know. We met when we were
for
seven.
2.5.
Best friends ever since.
Kind of.
Basically. But she's joining me today, and I kind of want to just circle back to what we were talking about. There was a moment in high school. There were a couple moments in high school where we weren't friends, but the longer time was like graduation. And then we reconnected when I turned 19. I puked in this dude's oven. She comforted me while I was drunk. But then I later, like, puked at the Sonic. I am not... I hate Sonic. I hate how much I love Sonic.
It's a problem.
It is.
Do you have the app?
The Sonic app? No, I do not, for that reason.
Yeah. Oh, well, I have the app. And I get half... price drinks quite often. I could have a line item in my budget for Sonic, but it would depress me, so I don't. I just send the money.
That's amazing. So, today we are talking about, this was actually a requested topic when I did the giveaway for Switching Gears about like who my heroes and role models are, and I had the same two. And Tori and I, we grew up together and we're very similar. So we kind of had, like, the same ones-ish, sort of.
Yeah.
This whole time. So it's perfect that she is joining.
You said it was a requested topic. Literally, do your listeners know that they did not request me, but they got me?
Yes. They did not request Tori, but they've got Tori.
And after this, they're going to request me.
They might. It's a lot easier to do it with somebody than just talking to air.
That is true. Although you have your cats.
I do have the cats. They are suspiciously quiet right now.
They have given you some fodder in recent episodes.
Yes. They meow.
I'm not going to do that.
Are you sure?
Yep. It's not going to happen.
Dang it. That would be kind of funny, though.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Darn it.
That's considering it, but I don't want to do it.
Would you bark? I know you like dogs more.
No.
Boo.
We have no pets at this current moment.
Are you going to change that?
At some point, we would like a dog. But my boyfriend would like a larger dog. I would like more of a lap dog. So we have to decide on that. But... I would like to name him Albert, so that my dog's name is Albert Albertson.
I love that so much. But also, big dogs don't necessarily realize how big they are, and so they end up also being lap dogs.
Yes, but I want, like, a true lap dog.
Oh, you want a tiny?
Wants to be. So, think of my little dogs I have at my parents' house.
If I were to get a little dog like that, my cat's Ozzy would be bigger than it.
Well, par for the course on your cat ownership.
Wrong.
You like the thick ones.
I do be liking the thick boys.
To be fair, Burbank, RIP, he was just full of fur, so it was less fat and more fur. But to give a little background, in case nobody knows, Burbank was Caitlin's cat. Years ago, and we called him Fat Cat because he was just full of fur. But he was great.
He was wonderful.
He was perpetually angry.
It was the original Grumpy Cat in my eyes. I always say that because I'm convinced that Burbank was an old, angry, gay man. And I know that Burbank would love Jordan. Because he loved every man he met.
That fits.
It does. Now he just has...
talk about role models.
Oh, yeah. See, this is the problem when you have friends of 20-plus years trying to sit down and focus. It doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. This would happen frequently with me and Blythe as well. I'm just not meant to focus with my friends, but that's okay.
We can do it. I have my notes.
You have
your notes. I'm so excited about these notes.
I'm actually really proud of you for taking notes. Okay.
Well, I wanted to be somewhat prepared.
I love it. Okay. So, let me just adjust my computer here. For me, like, I don't really think that, I mean, they qualify as heroes and role models, but they're kind of a given, so, like, there's the usual suspects. You know, you've got your parents, your teachers, your dance teachers, well, my dance teacher. My mom, I've actually had a lot of respect for in later recent years, especially now, because it's kind of a reflection on why I respect her so much and I look up to her in this regard is kind of, it's a reflection of, like, the current state of the world. My mom was super into protesting. She protested the Vietnam War. She was really heavy into women's rights. I almost wanted to say the Korean War, but I know that my history is not right, so I don't know if that would be the right timeline, but it feels like something she would have done.
Yeah, research is not your strong
suit. No.
Sometimes.
It's not.
And I don't know dates of wars any better, but I do know my grandpa was in the Korean War.
Oh, well, she could have protested it.
And while your mom is slightly older than, like, my parents,
yeah,
I don't think she's quite to that age, so... I would guess that she maybe would have been, like, a teenager.
Oh, then, yeah, she would have protested it.
But it's somebody comment on Caitlin's things and tell us when the Korean War happened.
Yeah, let us know, because I know that I don't know.
We didn't know we'd be talking about the Korean War, so yes. We did not research.
Yes, but my mom, she was super heavy into, like, fighting for women's rights. She burned her bras. She did all of that stuff. But then she also... Like I said, she protested the Vietnam War. And so I actually just found out that she got arrested a couple of times. And every time she went out to protest, she always had her bail money on her. Just in case, because she knew it would happen. And, like, she got tear gassed and all kinds of stuff. So, like, my mom was a hard ass back in the day.
Who knew?
I know, right?
But I think, like you mentioned, it's very reflective of the time. Like, I think that's really... pertinent now too, because your mom spent the majority of her life as a healthcare worker and she was a nurse, and so that's very obviously prevalent for the pandemic right now. And so I think what you said makes a lot of sense about how her being a role model has kind of shifted, but it's also fit with the times, and that just continues to be true.
Yeah, because I've gone out and I've done a women's march, and then I wasn't able to do, like, the Black Lives Matter protesting because I was sick, but Jordan went out and did it. And so, you know, I do what I can online. I've signed all of the petitions, but yeah, it's kind of a weird tradition I don't know. It's, like, a weird thing that my mom and I have both done that I didn't realize that she had done until later.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talked about the usual suspects, and I would agree. Like, I put in my note, you know, mom is one of my role models, and mm-hmm. I put that, you know, it's kind of always, to me, my role models have been really reflective of the life I've wanted to live in that time. So in high school and college, I was kind of more the let's get out and work, like, let's get out and live mentality. So to me, college especially, high school is just a time where you're like, okay, we're going to get through high school. You're too young to know the trajectory of your life. And for us growing up in a small town, we had no perspective.
Yep.
Anyway. So high school, I had role models, but it's kind of just more shifted toward collegiate and career life. And to me, and when I was in college, it wasn't, you know, classmates or coworkers. It was people that were living the life that I felt I wanted to live as a career woman.
Yeah.
My mom has always been that person because I've always wanted to be a mom. So she, to me, was always this example of how to have a career and be a badass, but also how to be a badass mother as well and really pay attention to your family. And growing up, I've realized just how much that takes. You know, I don't even have children, and my career is a big focus of mine. And I think to myself, like, how did my mother do it? Because I don't have kids, and almost every night is booked. And it's those things like, what of these things would I give up for my kids? And right now, I don't want to give up any of it. And so I'm just like, how did my mother do this?
Well, and you are a lot closer to your mom than I am with my mom. And even with, yeah, like, your mom being a professional working woman, like, I mean, we grew up together, and we were usually at all of the same events, and your mom was always there. Yeah, my mom missed a lot of them because she worked nights at the hospital as a nurse, so, like, my dad was always there. But yeah, no, your mom, like, she fucking balanced shit very well, and like you said, I have no idea how, because I can't even do my own life.
Well, and something that strikes me as crazy with my mom, too, is she was able to, like, build her career while being a mom. So she had me when she was 25, and my brother when she was 28, 27.
Yeah.
And so she was literally building her career at that time. She was not established as much as she is now. She was not, like, she was building toward that establishment of a career woman, whereas I'm 2 weeks away from 30. So I've had time to establish my career, but I've had time to kind of climb the ranks a little more so that when I have children, I can have more flexibility and I can have the ability to, like, leave to go to their activities. But my mom was doing that and trying to climb a career ladder at the same time. So as an adult, I'm just like, oh, that's why I think, like you said, it kind of grows, but you also, as an adult, see things from the perspective that they had while you were growing up. And so that's why she's just always at the top of my role model list, because I'm just consistently flabbergasted by how she did it.
Yeah. And I mean, I have two older brothers who are 10 and 15 years older than me. So, I mean, by the time I came along, my mom was 38, already had her career. Like, she had been a nurse at that point for 20 years already. So it's just, it's mind-boggling how people do it. A lot of the, like, people I looked up to growing up, and even, like, still today, like, I always saw role models and heroes in, like, little things, and, I mean, yeah, like I've said, the usual suspects, like, there were some teachers that I liked significantly more than others. I think we both did. There were, my dance teacher, the owner of the studio, Jill. She was definitely someone that I looked up to because, like, she was just badass girl who had danced in Vegas. She's had this business for so long. She drives a freaking Cadillac. And then it was, like, the girls that worked under her. So, like, Annalise. Annalise? Is that her name? Yeah, Annalise. She taught me ballet, and she was wonderful. She always took the time to listen and talk to me, and now she's taken over that studio for Jill, and, like, I'm just real proud of her, man. But, like, I always, there was a cheerleader in high school when I was younger, in elementary school, and I don't think that she was also in dance. I think she was just a cheerleader, but she would always say hey to me when my mom would take me to the football games on Friday night. Couldn't tell you her name, but she always made sure to say hey to me, so I always looked up to her in that regard. So it was, like, a lot of just little things that kind of piled up over time. And then, like you said, eventually I started looking towards, like, people in the career field that I want to be in, that I started looking at more.
Yeah, I think that's so relevant, because as you grow, you kind of understand what you want to be, and that's how you shape your role models. I mean, definitely there's celebrities, like, we both have lists of celebrity role models, but when I was younger, it was, you know, they were my role models because their story was cool or they did great things, but I really didn't know a ton about them, And as I've grown, like, my celebrity list, yes, is still full of celebrities, but it's also, like, because of how they've lived their life, or because of their perspective, or because of, I channel through the Boss Babes, you know? So, you with your podcast, me with my freelance, and all the side hustle things, I feel like I'm not complete if I don't have 100 things going on.
Yeah.
Right? And so, with all of those things, I look to the people that are doing it the way I wish I could do it.
Yeah.
You know, and celebrities tie into that too. You know, ones that own crazy good businesses but are also family people. Or for me, you know, faith ties into it too. So some of my celebrities have a strong faith aspect, which you and I have a little different outlook on that. But I think it's still relevant because they're a boss babe, but they're also, they love their Jesus. And I'm like, how can I love my Jesus and be a boss babe and be a family woman? And I don't know. I think that's what life is about, though, is, like, consistently trying to figure it out.
Yeah, the older I get, the more I realize that nobody has any idea what the hell they're doing.
Yes. I listened to a podcast actually talking about celebrities. So, Reba McEntire, who, you know, my mother loved her. So, I just kind of grew up loving her. She has a podcast now.
Fabulous.
They were just talking about aging and how she's like 65 and her co-host is like 50, almost 50, and they're like still trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up. And at the one hand, I was like, okay, I feel better at 29 and not really being sure. But on the other hand, I was like, so in 35 years, I'm still not going to know?
Like, yeah.
That's kind of not reassuring. I'd love to feel like I know, but I look back at where I was at 20 and my understanding of my goals and my life is so much deeper now at almost 30 than it was at 20. So I know it's will be fine at 65, but if you think about it, think about this for a hot second. 65 is further away to you and I than the life that we have currently lived.
See, when you say stuff like that, it's just a reminder of why I don't get high.
Yeah. And that's a sober thought.
Oh God, don't. Why you gotta hit me with that?
Well, oh, gosh. I can play my retirement guy, which is also a thing I never heard I'd say. I have a retirement guy.
That's goals for me though, honestly.
What?
Like growing up, I always had the same two people that I looked up to, J.K. Rowling and Walt Disney. Every time anytime anybody would say, like, what's somebody you want to meet, living or dead, I'd be like, J.K. Rowling. And it's just,
it hurts.
It hurts. It really, really hurts.
So bad.
Because, well, it hurts me, but of course it doesn't hurt the trans people out there. It doesn't hurt, it doesn't hurt me as much as it hurts them, because for them, I'm sure this has just got to be devastating, but it's devastating to know that a person that you have looked up to your entire life is kind of a piece of shit.
Well, in the way that she shaped both of our lives, so we've talked about, you know, we could talk about this for a whole other episode, so we won't get into it a lot, but, you know, I'm sitting here, and if people are, watch the YouTube, on Switching Gears' YouTube, you know, my background on this video is half of my shelves behind me are filled with Harry Potter stuff. And I have two tattoos that have something to do with Harry Potter. And I'm sitting up looking at the thing above my desk and it's the Hogwarts crest. Like, my life has been incredibly shaped. And some of my best friends, our entry point to friendship was Harry Potter. And like you said, it's just devastating. And I think if we do another episode, we'll get much into the separating the art from the artist. But the fact that we have to look at separating art from the artist, I think is what kills me the most, is the fact that I'm, like, having to make that choice and make that, I don't know, I just read it with a different lens. I listen to a couple of Harry Potter podcasts and they go into it a lot and it's just like, gosh, the fact that we have to make the choice of separating art from the artist is what kills me the most about that. Thing.
But, and I mean,
it's devastating.
Like, Harry Potter has shaped me because I wouldn't be where I am today without that inspiration. You know, like, I wanted to be a writer, and I am. I've been published. I've done some cool things with writing. And it's because I looked up to J.K. Rowling. And I think I liked both J.K. Rowling and Walt Disney in the terms that I really liked that whole rags to riches thing. Because grew up in a small town, our family didn't have a whole lot of money. And I was like, oh, I bet I could go out and make a whole lot of money. That's hard. But I mean, also, like, you just, because J.K. Rowling, she was on welfare, she didn't have a whole lot of money, she was a single mom when she wrote Harry Potter, and she just launched herself into money oblivion.
And she's done so much good with it, which is also just another factor of why it's just this such a complicated, I've seen so many things that people are like, it's not complicated, she sucks. But it's so much more than that, because look, she fell off the Forbes list because she donated so much money, and she has started charities that have helped so many other underprivileged communities, and it's just in the sense of, it's not as easy as just quit following her, and I think Disney is a great example of that, too, because obviously there's a lot of anti-Semitism and, you know, a lot of not great things about Disney as well, or at least looking back, people have felt that way.
The Aristocats is a great example.
What?
The Aristocats is a great example.
Yeah, oh, like, but, yeah, it's rough.
It's real rough.
But it's just, it's not that simple. You know, I just visited, so I live in Kansas City, you live in Wichita, which is why we're on a Zoom and doing things like this, but we live just a couple hours from his hometown, and we just visited there. And the things that he's done for that town, even now, like, years later, and the things that he did for that town when he was alive, and bless you. And that town had such a feel for Harrington, which is our hometown, you know, it was about the same size, and it had really big ties to the railroad, and the fact that Disney was so dedicated to that small 2,200 person town makes his negativity just, it's not that simple to look at. And then look at Disney now. I mean, look at the company that was started by him and his brother. And yes, I know there's a lot of corporate things you could look into with Disney that aren't great, but there's also so much good, once again, that Disney has done. And I think it just shows that your role models aren't always, you know, they're still people and they're still human and they still have those, not dark sides, but they still come into things. Like, one of my celebrity role models is Ellen DeGeneres. Like, you just kind of cringe for a second, but, like, they're also human. And I think when you're younger, you look at role models as these heroes and these do no wrong, and they can't be touched. And as you grow up, you realize your role models are flawed and they're human, but you can't, and you can call them out for that, but you can't really, it doesn't lessen the impact they've had on your life just because they're also flawed.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Harry Potter is even, like, so much of my identity, it feels like, at this point. Like, do I just cut off that part of my identity? Like, and I know I'm going to do my best not to give money to her in any way directly. So, like, buying used, like, I just bought a used Gryffindor purse. But, like, I am selfish, and I want to go to Harry Potter World. I've wanted to go to Harry Potter World since I read about the books. I made a, what, 5-minute, 15-minute presentation on it in middle school where I had the Harry Potter theme song playing in the background the whole time. Like, I have been obsessed with Harry Potter World since the beginning.
And you touched on it so much. You talked about your writing. And
yeah.
And started, and, you know, this could be something fun at a later date, too, and I'm going to call you out here, but look at one of your first examples of writing and published writing. Granted, it wasn't like the New York Times or anything, but we both were fan fiction lovers, and we both were fan fiction readers, and we both were fan fiction writers. And you wouldn't have had that exposure, and yep, Caitlin got published. published on fanfiction, people.
Draco and Hermione, what's up?
I'm not bitter about it. It's fine. My story got rejected. Whatever. But anyway, look at it from the perspective of your writing. And writing is something we both have in common, and it's been shaped very differently. But I think the fact that we did love Harry Potter so much, and we did love J.K. Rowling so much, certainly tied into why we both at least enjoy writing. You know, you have much more of a getting published, and your writing is more for, you know, consumption, where mine is more just because if I don't write, I'm going to blow up at somebody. Like, it's just an outlet, but I don't know, it shaped who you are, and writing is so much a part of your identity that you can't let go of it. You talked about, you know, letting go of your identity, and we both have strong ties to our houses, and we both have strong ties to how it shaped what we've done. Like, I would not have gone to London and Scotland last year had it not been for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The friend I went with, her and I would not be near as close of friends as we are without Harry Potter. And so you can't look at it from one lens. It's just impossible.
Yeah. And, you know, in college, I looked up to John Green and Hank Green, and I used to watch their videos every day. And John Green kind of fell off the face of the earth. I still love his writing, and I don't care if that makes me a 2012-13 Tumblr girl. I love his writing, and I know a lot of people don't, and that's fine. And Hank Green is just a sunshine of a soul. He is constantly out there on Twitter and TikTok, and he's a lovely person, it seems like. So,
no, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I still watch every Vlog Brothers video, and something I think that's interesting about them, too, for me personally, is I own all their books.
Same.
On the YouTube. It's, like, right here-ish on my shelf if you're watching the YouTube. But I own all their books, but I don't love either one of their writing. Like, I don't love it, but I love what they stand for.
Yeah.
I love what companies they've built. So for me, it's about supporting their community and what they stand for. And if I can buy a book to support that community and to support what they support, then I'm going to do that whether or not I enjoy that book. Where, like you talked about, it's kind of flip-flopped for us on the Harry Potter front. So, you know, very much so, since our role models are really creators and artists of some sort, there is that portion to it. You know, our moms... Yeah, they're mothers, they're amazing, we love what they've done, but they're not, like, we can't buy stuff from our moms, you know what I mean? Like, they're not creating art in the world that we can go purchase. Like, my mom works in a health doctor's office, your mom is a nurse, so
yeah.
We could be their
patient,
go to their clinics.
No thanks.
You know, but that's really it. And so many of our artists and role models that we aspire to be like, or that we like, we can support them in that way.
Yeah.
And some role models you can't, and I just think that's reflective of life.
Another writer that I've always looked up to, and let me just say that she has remained amazing through all of this, is Sarah Dessen. She's written so many young adult novels, and they're all fabulous and cheesy. They all tie into each other. And even on Instagram, like, she's just lovely. I have a mad respect for her, and Kristen Bell, has also...
She's on my list, too!
I have a mad, deep respect for Kristen Bell, because she does not show her kid's face on Instagram, just like Mindy Kaling. Sarah Dessen doesn't do that either, and they said it's because they've made the choice to be in public and be on the internet, but their kids have not consciously made that choice yet. And so, they're not revealing their faces until they're ready. I think that's fabulous. And Sarah Dessen even speaks out on a lot of political issues. Thankfully, we align. And so, she's been a huge Democrat and Biden supporter. So, it's just really nice to see, like, a writer that I've loved since high school just consistently be a lovely soul.
Yeah, Kristen Bell, you mentioned... I love what she does from a parenting perspective, but something that I love about Kristen Bell is her realness about her relationship and her marriage, and how she's been openly saying, like, it is difficult, and she's openly talked about how, you know, they have gone to therapy, and most recently, her husband had a relapse into using alcohol again, and she talked about that, and
yeah,
I love, you know, society romanticizes love and romanticizes romance, and, you know, both you and I, it's kind of funny, we always thought it was funny how we both found the love of our lives, like, within a month of each other after being perilously single for years. Well, me, not so much you, but, and it's not, the decision to love him is easy, but, like, the working at it is not as the society would want you to think, and when you look at celebrity marriages, it's just so glamorized.
Yeah.
And Kristen Bell is like, no, I can't stand him at the time. But she talks about how, you know, her children and their children are the priority and their marriage is the priority. And I just love how she doesn't take it as flippantly as so many celebrities do. And she doesn't try to romanticize it. And she doesn't try to glamorize it. And she's like, no, like, this is how it is. And I think that just helps people who are struggling or who are not getting roses every day or who move in with their significant other and they're like, you left your towel on the floor. And they look at people like Kristen Bell and they're like, oh, okay, this is normal. Like, this is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. In college, because I realized that, because I started out in musical theater because I didn't know any better. And then I realized I really couldn't sing. So I switched to theater. And then I started, like, looking into radio. And comedy is, like, legit careers. And so, like, in the personal regard, my intern boss, Tommy, who has hired me now, again, before we all lost our jobs, like, he is who I wish I can be because he's so goddamn talented and he's just a lovely soul. And so, like, I looked up to him a lot. And there have been a couple other radio people that I've looked up to as well. But for comedians, it has always, like, changed. When I first started comedy in college, like, I loved Chelsea Handler. Mindy Kaling isn't a comedian, but I love her career. Daniel Sloss, Amy Schumer, TJ Miller, Amy Poehler. I love her career. And then who's the other one? Oh, Whitney Cummings. A lot of people don't like Whitney Cummings, but I like her. I like her sense of humor. I like that she really admits how much she struggled at first. Like, she went to a lot of open mic nights. And so, like, that's just, it's just good to hear.
And I think it's interesting, kind of between you and I, so I have celebrity role models, and I have people that I kind of follow, but I only just kind of follow them. And something I like about what we talked about that you do is you have intentionally, especially lately, sought out artists and creators, and especially with being 2+ size queens like we are.
Yeah.
You have done a lot of that recently, and I haven't. You know, I just kind of see what I see and go along and try to figure it out. But I really like how you are actively seeking out people in the community not only plus size, you know, you've sought out creators on different levels. And I just love how you've done that, especially as of lately.
Yeah. Well, it just, like, I've had my struggles with body image, and I was anorexic, and I've worked with a girl who had a photo of a toned woman's body on her phone as, like, her screensaver, and I'm like, what is that? Not to be too nosy, but, like, what's going on there? That's a little odd, in my opinion. And she's like, oh, well, that's just the body that I want, so it's kind of like a,
motivation.
Yeah, motivation. And I'm just like, oh God, I couldn't do that. Like, I can't. I'll sit there, I'll obsess over it, and it's just not good for me mentally. So I really decided that one day I was just going to go and seek out plus size girls and content creators, And I have found so many, and that has taken, like, my mental health in that regard and just been so good for it. Like, there's Fuller Figure, Fuller Bust, who is a English girl. She's in London area-ish, I think. She's amazing. She does a lot of pin-up and lingerie shoots. Another one that I really like is Rosie Blair, and she focuses on how, which is a huge thing for me, because a lot of plus size fashion is ugly. Like, why do you want us to look like potato sacks? I hate the cutout sleeves. Stop giving us that. It's not, nobody likes that.
I have a couple cutout sleeve shirts.
Well, as long as you're happy, Tori.
They're cute.
See, and I don't like them. And I think that it's like a lot of, I'm even noticing on, like, Twitter with a lot of, I follow a lot of artists on Twitter, too. They, like, make their own shirts or their own, like, clothing, but they, like, go up to, like, a size large. And I'm like, what good are you doing? What's the point of that?
Yeah, I think inclusivity is still something that we're seeking in the plus-size community, and I'm not going to be one that says, we're not ignorant, so I think something that we get, we meaning plus-size women, and only speaking for Caitlin and myself, because we cannot speak to anybody else's experience, but we are not ignorant of the fact that we could be leading a healthier lifestyle, and that is not part, and it's been so interesting. You know, a few years ago, I lost a ton of weight, and I was fitting into medium-sized shirts, and you talked about, like, the availability of clothing. It was incredible, because I finally was able to shop in the normal women's section, and it was more than just flowers, and it was more than just solid colors, and it was more than just tents of shirts. Like, there were cuts in these shirts, and there were, you know, zips on these shirts, and just different appliques on these shirts, and they were cheaper, and that's a whole other topic.
Yeah,
but we are, the biggest thing I was getting at is, like, we are not ignorant of the fact that we could be leading a healthier lifestyle. It is, that is not what being plus size is. That is not what embracing plus size is. It's more embracing the fact that there are more things to life than fitting into the doctor's check boxes. And
yes,
we acknowledge that. And while we understand that we could be doing things a little differently that are a little healthier, are, for me personally, my, like, personal happiness has been far more important from a body image and body positivity standpoint. And if I look at times in my life where I was super into running or super into calorie counting, it's because I was unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes being a little heavier than I should be and a little more anxious about future health issues, but I'm happy, I would rather be happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't, like I said, a whole nother issue, but I think tying back to role models, the ones that you're following, oh no, so everybody, I just hit my mic, giant audio issue, I have come to find out, but anyway, you were talking about role models and body positivity role models and those that represent you as a plus size woman. Those women understand that.
Yes.
And they embrace it, and I think that's what you and I appreciate about them, is because they're embracing the things that we have had trouble embracing our entire life.
Yeah. And Rosie Blair, I like her because she seeks out, like, fashion for plus size that, like, is beautiful and amazing. She's even finding, like, high-end. Like, the other day, I debated so hard buying a couple of pieces that she had showed on her Instagram stories. But she also, like, Rosie Blair honestly eats healthier than I've seen skinny girls eat. She eats a lot of healthy food. She's on, like, a certain restricted diet. Like, she's gluten-free and a couple of other things because she has, like, issues, health issue things. And it just, like, it's just, it's unreal. Sarah Ray Vargas is another girl who I recently found because of her body positivity stuff, and it's just, it's nice to see. And there's a couple of other girls. This could be in a whole nother topic as well. But, like, the mid-size girls who are plus size, but not really. Mm-hmm. There have been a few of theirs, and I'm like, oh, they're such brave. They're great plus size. And I'm like, they're good. There's better.
Yeah, there's that line between, like, if you're a size 14 or something. It's kind of when you enter the plus size world. And even at, like, my healthiest, I was, like, a 16. And that, you know, and I lost 60 pounds or something like that. And still was only in a 16. And, like, my BMI was still at the overweight level. And it's, like you said, there's nothing wrong with what those mid-sized women are doing. And, like,
yeah.
Obviously, yes, they're brave because they're women, and in general women are just brave because they're women.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like we have to get to the point where we recognize every end of the spectrum and not just the ones that are kind of tipping the scales.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was kind of sort of tipping the scales in the plus size when I was quote unquote healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why? I'm so confused. Like, why is at 16 it's considered brave, but at a size 20, like I am now, you know, flirting with 18, 20, I'm considered lazy and overweight and whatever. And especially because overweight and plus size does not mean unhealthy. My vitals are great. My levels are great. Like, God love my boyfriend. He's super skinny and like in a super healthy perspective, but he's got high blood pressure. Like, he takes blood pressure medication.
Mm-hmm.
My blood pressure's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, we're getting into the weeds where we could definitely go into plus size more, but I think it's just education, and what those women that you follow are doing are educating people that,
and
there's more to being plus size than being lazy and unhealthy.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of it too comes to what they were taught by their parents.
Sure.
Because if they see, like, and this is a reason I ended a friendship in college. When Kelly Clarkson sang the anthem, the national anthem in the Super Bowl, I was at a restaurant, and Kelly Clarkson came up on the screen, and this bitch was like, oh, she's so fat. And I looked at her and I'm like, we're the same size. Oh, well, not you. You're beautiful. And I'm like, no, that's a really shitty thing. And I called her out on it. And then she ran to the bathroom and cried. And I was like, this isn't, no, don't turn this. Mm-mm. You started this, your little one. Shut your mouth. It's just like what they're taught.
Because I'm just going to. We're running longer than I know you like to run on your episodes anyway, and I'm just gonna double the time if we talk about plus size and
yeah,
the
no.
industry and the reputation and outlook on it. Like, it's not as bad as people think it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, like, I sought out people that I like. I like their content. Like, I really like Bailey Sarian and Kendall Ray. They both cover true crime, and I love true crime. I covered it a little bit on Switching Gears. It's not something that I think I want to stick to permanently, just because there are so many other true crime people that I think could do it better than I can, and I am better at just talking about anything and everything. Awkward
Which
silence.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. So, yeah. But part of me also wants to be, like, the super crafty DIY person. I'm not.
No.
No. My idea of a craft is, here, I can actually pick it up. And I did this last year, the crafting of my underwear. This is my craft, okay? It is a clear glass vase. And I put ornaments in it. This is my idea of a craft.
Lived in a smaller town, and there wasn't as much activity. I wasn't as involved, and I was single, so let's be real, when you are in a relationship, it does take up more time.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing good or bad about it. It's just the truth. And I was, like, super into crafting for a hot minute.
And I remember that.
Moved to Topeka and, like, lost the amount of space that I had to set up all my craft stuff. And therefore, it became more of an effort to bring all the craft stuff out. And then when I moved to Kansas City, it was an issue of where the heck is this stuff going to go? And clutter makes me a little anxious. But I was like, no, we're going to get rid of it. So my extent of crafting is like gluing plain paper to scrapbook paper and like writing something on it or decorating. Like it's not crafting, but I can decorate.
Yeah.
Pretty well. I'm going to pimp out my home for a second. It looks nice. It's pretty.
Yeah. You're definitely better at that than I am. Like, a couple of the girls that I follow on Instagram that I really like in this regard, House and Hens and then Olive Branch Cottage, like, they're just so good at it. And they have, like, these clean lines, and their place is clean, and they have, like, these decorative pillows. I mean, what's cool about them is that they also show when it's dirty and it's a shit show, but, like, I'm looking at my couch right now, and I have zero decorative pillows. I have Christmas blankets, a I Heart Hawkeye blanket on it. I have a Baby Yoda, a Grumpy Bear, and then, like, 20 million Squishmallows on it. I have a cool gallery wall, but, like, I'm not that person.
Yeah, I'm recording in my office, and I am, like, in the midst of trying to reconfigure it so it's a little more work-friendly, because 'tis the year of 2020 and needing to have a more functional office space at your house.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, like, two blankets on the floor. I have a whole, like, decoration madness going on the floor on the other side, and I was like, you know, my Zoom background's pretty good. Like, I like it. My boyfriend helped me with it. But then I'm looking, for those of you that are on the YouTube, but for those of you that are just listening, I'll explain it. I have a beautiful curtain on my closet that basically covers up all the dirty, and I've realized that curtain is wide open. So anybody watching the YouTube recording, just listen to me say I don't like clutter, and can also, in the corner, see my ridiculously cluttered closet. So, you know. I also like looking at people who are really great at home decor on Instagram, but I also think to myself, like, do you have time to do, like, how do you have time to do that?
Yeah.
Because we basically don't clean our house for a few weeks, and then we spend hours on a Saturday doing it.
Yeah, I still have a lot to do cleaning-wise today, but, like, it's fine. Like, I need to vacuum up, especially all the, like, little Christmas tree strands, because I decorated for Christmas yesterday. When I get home from work, I'm still working physically at work, and when I get home, like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit there on the couch, because I hate it, and I don't want to move. And so then on the weekend, I'm like, I'm gonna have fun, and I'm like, I have to clean.
Yeah, at some point today the office will be clean. It's a little messy, so it's gonna be fixed. The rest of the house is alright, but
yeah. And even
digress again.
Getting back to role models and, like, people I look up to, there's even, like, getting back to our topic of choice.
Yeah, you know, it's fine.
There's a lot of, like, fellow creators, but, like, ones that are not on my level, but, like, ones that I know personally. Like, I still even really look up to them and their friends. Like, I collaborated with, well, not really, they were just on my podcast. I guess that's a collaboration. Children of Proteus, I really look up to them because I think what they're doing is really great. There's a couple of cosplay people that I know that, even though cosplay is not for me, I still can acknowledge that they're a good inspiration. So I've always just found, like, role models and stuff, even in, like, people that I know, like, my friends. You know, I've always looked up to you with your ambitiousness with your career. I've always looked up to Blythe because she's funny and she tackles motherhood in a good way. I've looked up to Kara because she is so goddamn insanely talented with makeup. I've just always, if you're in my life, I've probably looked up to you in some way.
absolutely. And I think that's more reflective to me growing older than any celebrity role model or any unattainable Instagram role model. Like, I have found more inspiration in people that I interact with on a day-to-day lifestyle than anybody else. And, like, you are fiercely unapologetic. And I have just always, whether it's bad or good, you're a little more unapologetic than I typically am, but you're fiercely unapologetic about who you are. And authenticity is one of my major, I mean, it's a pillar of my business. And so it's so important to me, and you've been a big part of inspiring me and how you can be authentic. And, you know, my confidence, I'm in a confidence class right now, and my confidence coach, the way that she runs her business and the way that she runs her life in the sense of how boundaries are important and how those things happen have challenged me to make those improvements in my life. And like you said, mothers or people that I find sometimes that role models, like we said, are kind of flawed. So sometimes there's people that I look up to, but parts of them I don't. And I think that helps in a way too. Like, role models, this sounds weird, but one of my worst experiences with somebody was one of my biggest impacts of how I wanted to live my life. So in a way, that person ended up being a role model in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've learned, like you said, far more from the people I interact with on a day-to-day, year-to-year basis than I have celebrities. I've learned from them too. And I mean, let's be real, it's always kind of fun to aspire to be someone who has far more resources than we'll ever have in our life.
Yeah.
But from a tangible, real life, I can be that person perspective, it's the real people.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, even in the last, two years, just because I've met so many more, radio people in town, like, I've definitely learned of the people I've met, like, who I more want to be like. So it's very interesting. I would like to touch on fictional people, though, real fast. Because I always wanted to be just like Hermione Granger, Ginny Weasley, and Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
Characters from two problematic people. But I just love them.
Yeah, the literal two people I wrote down under fictional were just Hermione and Belle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yep. Can relate.
Yep.
That's a fun way to kind of end it. Like, Hermione and Belle are queens.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And it's wonderful, and we can be them.
Yes.
You've always called me kind of a Disney princess, so I've always just kind of naturally gravitated toward Belle. But, like, the good parts of them, not the...
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, it's not quite the same. But
yeah.
Another
yeah.
episode, another time.
Yeah. Book Ginny, not movie Ginny.
Absolutely. Movie Ginny's rough. She got done dirty.
She really did.
Yep. Those are my two fictional examples. Hermione and Belle.
Perfect. We have the same ones.
Fabulous. No one is surprised.
Nope. Definitely not me. Yeah, that's basically it.
Thank you for having me on your podcast, especially because I just kind of texted you and said, I want to do that too. She texted me and said, look at what my next episode's about. And I said, yeah, I'm gonna be on that.
I didn't
really give her a choice.
Just like you haven't given me a choice on various stuffed animals that I've owned.
This is true. Rabbit is bae.
Rabbit is bae. I can see Rabbit right now. Rabbit isn't stuffed owl.
Yes.
She made me name Rabbit.
I did.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yes, thanks for having me on your podcast.